This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to this week's edition of Creative Impact. I'm David Fair, alongside our content partner and my co-host, Deb Pollack. Deb is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, and each week, we explore the people who are a part of the creative industries in Washtenaw County, making a difference, culturally and economically. Deb, welcome back. Always great to see you. I love it.
David, we have a really big show. You can even say it's a Majungasaurus show.
Might that be a clue as to our guest and topic today? Majungasaurus isn't something that comes up in my everyday conversation.
Yeah, any idea what we're talking about?
Maybe. Could it also have something to do with woolly mammoths and the little tiny fossil specimens?
Yeah, I always knew you were smart. Of course you figured it out. Dinosaurs, earth science, and solar systems. Oh, my. I am very excited.
Rewriting the movie, are you?
Of course. You know me. I'm always very excited to welcome our guest, Lynn Fryman, to the studio. Lynn is, first and foremost, from Saline, but she's also polymorphic. We have all science terms today. She is many-sided and many-talented. She has many talents. She's an artist, an exhibition designer, an administrator, a community organizer, and more. And she was the project manager for both the DIAs, the Detroit Institute of the Arts, and the University of Michigan's Museum of Arts, reinstallation of their collections after their construction projects. And for the last few years, Lynn has served as the project manager of the University of Michigan's Natural History Museum's construction, move, and reinstallation project.
Well, welcome to Creative Impact and the WEMU studios. Lynn, it's good to see you.
Thank you, David and Deb.
Well, it seems as though we just had Museum Director Amy Harris on the show, and she prepared us for the long closure of the Natural History Museum. But looking back, that was like 16 months ago. It seems like time has passed at warp speed, though, and I bet that's even more true for you.
Absolutely. Moving a million years of history.
In just moments.
I can't imagine the amount of work that has to go into itemize, protect, pack, move all of those artifacts and specimens. Is there some kind of Move a Natural History Museum manual?
Not in the least bit.
I didn't think so. So how do you organize such an endeavor?
There are a lot of people that I rely on around the university, and we sit down, we problem solve, I take all the skills that I've learned over these other projects that Deb just mentioned, and we figure out what's the order of the move and how we're going to get things in. So for instance, the whales were the first thing to move, and literally one of the whales, the Dorudon, we walked across the sidewalk to the new biological sciences building.
Well, that had to be quite a sight. I'm on my way to class, and hey, there's a whale.
There's a whale wailing across the thing. Lynn, so the museum, and moving it, had to start with a vision. And in executing that vision takes yourself, somebody who's a project manager, and your team with Amy and everybody else. And when I looked up project manager, what the degrees are and what skill sets are necessary for that degree, things like leadership training, time management training, math and budgeting training, and analytical and problem solving, and the ability to resolve conflicts and make hard decisions. And in your case, working with academics, scientists, museum professionals, and construction teams, you have a degree in communications design and industrial designs at Parsons. How does that all come together? You don't have the MBA that they recommend or an engineering degree. How does that all come together for you to be able to do this project?
So 30 years of background in problem solving and creative delegation, and I'm a lifelong learner, so I'm constantly taking on things, and I learn about them, I absorb things, and just like any artist or creative person, I pull the pieces together, and I think about the budget. I'm really very left-brained and right-brained at the same time. So,
which is pretty rare.
Yeah.
Not as rare as you think, though, David. There's a lot of us out there.
There are a lot of us out there.
I'm trying to get one side to function.
I make jewelry in my spare time so I can be absolutely focused right brain, left brain at the same time.
So what would be the more traditional path for those that are interested in the museum arts and moving into project design and setting up one of these kinds of facilities? What would be the more traditional path?
Well, there's, of course, project management courses, but I've never taken one of those. I never say no. I learn on my feet. I think that you can go to places like the University of the Arts and get a course in exhibit design or George Washington University. There's a number of places in the country, but for most of my friends that are in museum design or exhibit development, they get in through the back door. They might be a writer. They might be a set designer.
So are you taking any students under your wing as part of this project? Are they learning these tools and these skills, whether they're in the program for project management or not?
I personally don't have any at the moment, but we have interns at the university that have been learning about the specimens, and they've been helping to catalog and move them all.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, alongside my co-host Deb Pollack. Our guest is Lynn Fryman. She is the project manager overseeing the University of Michigan Natural History Museum's construction, move, and reinstallation to its new facility, which opens on April 14th.
Yeah, so Lynn, we touched on creative problem solving. So what was one of the most phenomenal events or situations that you had to manage as you moved the known history of the Earth and its inhabitants to a new building?
They had to be moving a whale across the street, didn't it?
Well, that was one of them, and erecting our mastodon. So we had wonderful help through Michigan Media to videotape the whole taking down of the mastodons. We, of course, have the only mastodon couple in the world at the University of Michigan Museum of Natural History. So we took them down, we put them back up. We, of course, installed our trackway, which I'm proud to say is from Celine, and developed the atrium exhibit, which is right now open for a sneak peek already.
Oh, is that right?
So
mm-hmm.
So you guys expected that. Was anything unexpected, something that wasn't, like, you know, something that you discovered, or you know, projects don't always go as smoothly as we expect?
So one of the things that we were going to install is called an admonosaur. And the admonosaur was in a matrix. He was sort of laying in the back of the second floor of the museum. And when the paleontologist removed him from the matrix, he was a little too delicate to place on the wall in a new matrix that we thought we would put. So we worked with the paleontologist to develop a whole new scene, and it's called a Western Marine scene. You may not be aware that the western part of the United States was an ocean. And
right.
So we got some fantastic new specimens. And one of the great joys of my work is I get to say all these weird words like...
Such as?
Hesperornis, Semolichthys.
Now, how do you work that into your dinner parties?
All the time.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU once again. How many exhibit specimens and artifacts will be on display with the grand public opening on April 14th?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not even sure, but there's several thousand on display. We have thousands and thousands in the collection, and we're going to be opening both in April and November. So we have three galleries that will open later.
Right, you're rolling them out as, mm-hmm. as you do that.
And you also have the new storage facility, too. So the museum is there, but you also have the off-site location?
The off-site location is for paleontology and zoology and herbs, and that is off-site. But the museum's collection is right in the Biological Sciences Building.
How many of the items will be rotated in and out, those that are in storage and those that are going to be on display initially, over the years to come?
That's really hard to tell. We do have a changing exhibit gallery, so as new topics come up, we'll be able to change things in and out. We're still collecting, so I can't even know what will be in and out, and science is always changing.
Right. Well, and from an aesthetic and visual view point of view, what is going to be different when I walk in the doors to the new facility from the old facility?
Oh, my goodness. So the old facility was in the fantastic Ruthven Building, but this, the Biological Science Building, you'll walk into a light-filled five-story atrium, greeted by our mastodon couple, greeted by the Basilosaurus and the Dorodon overhead. And it's just an awe moment.
And it's also living scientists working.
Absolutely. Just to the side of those, we have a window into paleontology, and you can watch them prep our fossils.
Now, have you had an opportunity to talk to any of those folks that are going to be behind the glass working? I would think that would be odd if there were people staring at us right now as we were doing this. That might feel a little
different.
Actually,
as a visitor, you're going to have a chance to do that.
I know. That's weird.
Yeah, they're going to have headphones just like we have headphones
on now.
Block
us out.
And they will be able to talk to students, and they'll tell about what they're doing. And we've already been practicing and talking to students.
So at those dinner parties where you get to use those fascinating words, what are the two or three things that you say are your favorite so far?
So my very favorite specimen is called a Desmanosuchus. And a Desmanosuchus is a crocodile that has horns on its back. It's a fantastic looking creature.
I'm trying to picture that in my mind. Well, we're going to get
to see it soon.
Very,
exactly.
Very, very soon indeed.
April 14th.
You are listening to Creative Impact on 89.1 WEMU. We're going to look forward to the grand opening of the University of Michigan's Natural History Museum at its new location in the Biological Science Building. That's at 1105 North University Avenue. Is that right, Lynn?
That is right.
The official public opening is Sunday, April 14th. Sneak previews underway. Lynn, thank you so much for the time, for the information today, and sharing your creativity.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you.
That is Lynn Fryman. She is the project manager for the University of Michigan's Natural History Museum. And to my Creative Impact co-host, Deb Pollack, we'll see you next week. And thanks, as always, for sharing some time.
Always exciting things to do in our community.
Deb Pollack is the president and CEO of the Arts Alliance, which serves as our content partner for Creative Impact. You hear it every Tuesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.